You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." The angels had returned to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they have seen and heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Thank you, Hannah. Great job. This is our final of a three-part series called The Christmas Gift. The first week, Pastor Richard opened it up with the gift promised. Last week, it was the gift delivered. Now, this week, it's the gift unwrapped. Now, when I was probably 12 years old, I got into the habit at Christmas time of guessing my Christmas gifts, and I was getting really good at it. And I would take sometimes an hour to figure out the gift before I would unwrap it, and it drove my family crazy. Finally, one year when I was 12, I was so convinced that this gift, what it was, and I thought, why open all your gifts like on the same day? You know, why not like wait until like a week after Christmas, and then my brothers and sisters won't have any gift to open, and I still will. So I thought, I'm going to take this one gift because I think I know what it is anyhow, and I'm going to wait a week, and I'm not going to unwrap it. And I'm going to wait a week. But then after a week, I thought, wouldn't it be great if I waited like a month until like, because nothing goes on at the end of January. There's no birthdays in our family or anything like that. And I'm going to take out this Christmas gift and just unwrap it in front of everybody, and I'm going to like have this like second explosion of Christmas. And but then I thought, well, why don't I wait to the summertime? Because in the summertime, you know, there's no Christmas, and, you know, it's not even a Burr month if you're Filipino, so that doesn't come till September. So, inside joke for us Filipinos. But I just waited, and then, do you know what happened? A year went by, and I never opened the gift. And I just kept kind of saving it and saving it and saving it. And so it's now been 40 years. And that's the gift. There's my name, Burt. And I've brought this gift today, after 40 years, to show you. To show you. Here it is, live and in person. This is famous in the Thompson family. In fact, it's gone all over Facebook and all over the world. I've used this as an illustration before. I remember one time in Nashville, Tennessee, our church, you know, has about 1,000 people in the service, and they were shouting, "Open it! Open it! Open it!" So anyway, I'm not sure if this will be the year or not. I'm not sure. We'll see. I'm still deciding. I'm still deciding. I'll keep you in suspense. But in our Bible verse, you know, we talked about how it wasn't enough for them to just hear about Jesus. They had to go and find him and really look at Jesus and peer into him and see what Jesus really, who he was and who he was called to be. And so, I think a lot of us, you know, whether or not we open the gift year after year, it doesn't, well, it sort of matters because it's a fun thing to do, right? But what is it when we say we're supposed to unwrap God's gift of Jesus at Christmas? What are we talking about? So if this is the gift, Jesus, and we're saying Christmas is supposed to be this great time where, you know, God gave, you know, the gift of Jesus, like what exactly are we unwrapping? We said the title here is The Gift of Christmas Unwrapped. So what exactly are we unwrapping? And so there's several things, but I want to give four, okay? And that's my message today. Four things when you unwrap Jesus, what you get. First of all, you get forgiveness. We sing a song here. It's a Hillsong song, and it says, everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. The kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Some of you who know that song, we sing that everyone needs forgiveness. You know, all of us have things in our lives that depress us, that push us down, that somehow in our heart of hearts that we know that something's not just right. And that's because there's sin in the world. And all of us have been affected by sin. And believe it or not, all of us have sinned. So we have all been hurt because of sin. And we have all hurt because of our sin, others. But Jesus, He offers forgiveness. And you might say, well, why did God need to send Jesus in order to have forgiveness? I mean, why couldn't just God say, I forgive you all? Why did He have to actually send Jesus? Have you ever thought that? Like, why couldn't God just say, I forgive y'all. Y'all forgiven, as they say in the South. Y'all are forgiven. Well, let's think about this thing of forgiveness. Say you're a small business owner. There's many ways to illustrate this. But say you're a small business owner or a medium-sized business owner. And you do all your work for a year, selling your wares, producing your product, you know, maybe your service industry or whatever. And at the end of the year, what you have to do is you have to do some accounting. And at the end of the year, you're hoping to make a profit, right? But what happens on your accounting if all of a sudden you realize that, wow, you know, the difference between my expenses and my income was $100,000. Therefore, wow, great, I made $100,000 profit this year. There's only one problem. In a small business, there's something called accounts receivable. Those are things, are maybe unpaid bills, people that, you know, you gave them the product or whatever, and then they didn't pay up. And you keep, you know, you try to, you put it on the 30 and then the 60 and the 90 day, and you try to collect the interest. And at a certain point in accounting, you have to do something called you have to write it off. In other words, you have to forgive the debt. But you know what happens? If you're a business owner and you decide you're going to forgive those debts, say that you were going to experience a $100,000 profit. Hear what I'm saying? Say your sales were $1 million and your expenses were $900,000. That's a $100,000 profit, right? But what if your accounts receivable of ones that you tried to pay back, you couldn't get, and say there were $100,000 that you had to write off? How much is your profit? Zero. You see, that business owner could say, you know what? I just forgive you guys. I just want to forgive all of your debts. But it costs something. Forgiveness always costs somebody something. You know, another illustration, you know, say one of you got kind of really ticked off, maybe your phone crashed, and you took out a baseball bat and you started smashing my car. You were just kind of in a fit of rage, and you just started taking a baseball bat or whatever, and you started denting up my car and just dented it and smashed the window and things. And I came up to you and I said, what are you doing to my car? And you said, oh, I'm so sorry. My phone crashed. I just went into a rage and I started smashing your car. Now, if you said to me, oh, Bert, you know, you're a nice person, will you just forgive me? I could say, okay, I forgive you. It's okay. I forgive you. And I drive away in a dented up car. Someone still had to pay for that forgiveness, right? Namely me. namely me, because I'm either going to have to pay for it to be fixed, or I'm going to have to drive around in a dinged up, dented up car. Either way, but you see, all of us had a debt and accounts receivable towards God. And God couldn't just say, okay, well, I just forgive you. Someone had to pay, because sin in the world creates a debt. It creates a deficit. And that's why we feel bad when we sin, is because it's not just in our minds. There, in the universe, there is an accounting of all things. And whenever we break God's law, it creates a deficit. And so God, in order to forgive us, had to send a perfect sacrifice, and that was his son, Jesus. And that's one of the things that we unpack at Christmas, is forgiveness. Another thing, number two, is God says that I also call you my friend. You see, not only are we put into a relationship with God again, but we actually get to reconnect where that barrier between us and God is mended, and that we feel his love. We feel his love because there's no more sin against us. The debt has been paid by Jesus as we put our faith in him, and God actually calls us now his friend. I've got a couple of scriptures on the screen. God called Abraham his friend. It says the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called what? A friend of God. So when we open the gift of Christmas in Jesus, we also get to be a friend of God. Also, it says that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then finally, Jesus himself said this. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so when we unwrap this gift of Christmas, it's not just a one-time forgiveness, but God becomes your friend and my friend. It's an awesome thing to think about, that he becomes our friend, he becomes our Father, that we're reconnected, that there's nothing that you can do to make God not love you. And there's no sin that you can make to take away his love. And there's nothing that you can do to make him love you more. Do you realize that? On your worst day, he doesn't love you less. And on your best day, he doesn't love you more. It's like on a car, you have your engine rev or your meter. If God's love meter towards you, it's just past the red line on full all the time, whether it's a good day or a bad day. Isn't that wonderful? That because of Jesus, our sin is taken away, and that the love of God, we say that the only way that we can really follow the purpose for which we have made is to first encounter the unconditional love of God. And then we can hear his voice, and we can find out more clearly what it is that we have been called to do with our lives. Thirdly, the third gift in Jesus is family. God puts us in a spiritual family. Psalm 68, verse 6, God places the lonely in families and sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. We live in a world now, and it's going to increasingly go this way, where people are going to move around the world. Years ago, we moved from Vancouver to Calgary. We didn't really have any family there, just a cousin. Then we moved to Nashville in the United States, and we were apart from all natural family. Now we're in Toronto, where I don't have any family here except for through my wife. People are moving all around the world, and the nuclear family as we've known it has changed a lot and will continue to change. But you know what? God doesn't leave us without family. When God becomes our Father and he becomes our friend, then he gives us a new family. He gives us a new family. That's why at our church service from time to time, We don't just have the church service, but we eat together. That's why during the week we have small group Bible studies or meet one-on-one or have Starbucks together and all of that. Why? Because God puts us into a family. That we don't have to be alone. That there are people who when you put your faith in Jesus, you come into God's universal family that's all over the world. But also, he knits you into a smaller family, like a church family, where you can connect and get to know people. And that's another blessing of family. Now, you say, what happens in family? I like to say this, that one of the analogies for family is like a team. When you think about your life, how many people have ever played sports growing up? Any sport at all? We really have some non-athletes all together, like you've never played. Okay. Some of you too embarrassed to put up your hand, but think about it. For the most part, when I think of my life, the time where I had, where I was the best at any particular sport was when I was on a team and I had a coach and I had teammates. Think about it. Think about it. For those of you who, you know, are beyond your teen and 20s and maybe you had that season where you were on a team and had a coach and you had teammates, think about it. During that time, you're probably going to be the best that you ever have been at that particular sport. Why? Because you had a coach and because you had teammates. And you see, when God puts you in spiritual family, it's like putting you on a team. The pastors are like your coaches. We're cheering you on. We're telling you, don't trouble that way. Don't live that way. We're giving counsel. But the other thing is that the teammates together are also encouraging one another. You know, the church as God's spiritual family loves you enough, just like God. We're called to love you just the way that you are. But if we really love you, we won't let you stay the way you are. Let me say that again. As a church family, we're called to love one another just the way they are. But we're to love one another so much that we're not going to let one another stay the way we are. Instead, we're going to challenge people. We're going to challenge every one of us to be the best that we can be. For each of us to love God. That's why, you know, the year of the Bible, we're going to keep pushing on you to read your Bible every day in 2015. That's like a coach. Why? Because we want you to get better. And when God's word is more in your heart, you're going to grow as a follower of Christ. And you're going to be encouraged by God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we need that continually feeding. And so God puts us in a family. That's one of the blessings. And finally, I have a picture of myself. Is there a picture of me running up there? Yeah. So this is a picture of me a couple years ago. It's just an illustration. Even running, which is kind of an individual sport, when I joined a little training team with about 20 members, I went from not being able to run a marathon to running two marathons a year, and I got my time down to 3:38, which is pretty good marathon time. But I realized that even though it was an individual sport, this is me at the Vancouver Marathon. That's where I got my best time. But I'm thinking back, you know, why was I so fruitful in running at that time? And I'm telling you, it's because I had a coach and because I had teammates. My teammates were cheering me on. If I, you know, it was a Saturday morning run and I was supposed to be down there at 6 a.m. and I missed, they'd be, you know, Facebooking him, "Hey, Bert, where were you? You know, we missed you. Where were you?" You know, and so you can't miss about more than two times and they're going to be on you. You know, we got a race coming up. Come on. And so that's just a natural illustration of the spiritual strength that you can be. And I encourage you, if you're not a part of a spiritual family, that you need to join and be a part so that you can have a coach and you can be encouraged as well. And finally, when you open Jesus, and let me tell you, when you open the present called Jesus at Christmas, you get a lot more than four things, but we're having a shorter service today. And so I was going to have 20, so I whittled it down to four. So the fourth thing is a future. Is a future. what I want to say about this. There's some things in life, you know, even with the coach, even with the spiritual family and everything, sometimes in this life, things don't work out like we hope. And that's because the story or the worldview, the story of God or the worldview that Christianity teaches us is this worldview, that life is like this. There's creation, fall, redemption, and then recreation. In other words, this world was made perfect. We are of good origin. When people say, you can look at any person and no matter how messed up their life got, you can look into their eyes and you can say they are of good origin. God made them. When he made man and when he made woman, he said, this is good. This is good. When he made man and woman, when he made you, he says, this is good. But you know what? We don't stay good because sin has entered the world and that's the fall. And that's why hate and evil, even in ourselves, when we find those things, it's because of the fall. We have to acknowledge it. When you're a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean that somehow we're not affected by sin anymore. Oh, no, 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 no. We have to fight it every day. We have to ask God for strength that we don't do the things that sin is tapping at our door to do. And then there's redemption. That's why Jesus came and he came and he died and he got his forgiveness. But there is a future hope that even when something never works out in this life, there is another life where God says he's going to put everything back in order again, just like it was in the beginning. There's a scripture in the book of Hebrews that talks about Hebrews 11 is a chapter in the Bible where it's all the heroes of faith, not all of them, but many of them throughout, down through the ages. And it talked about how, you know, by faith, this person did this and this person did that. But it also says this about some of the people who had faith. In Hebrews 11:3, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. In other words, their faith wasn't a faith that received just exactly what they wanted in this life, but they did ultimately get everything that God had for them. God gives us a future. He gives us a future. It doesn't matter how many messed up things happened in your life. You might say, well, I can't turn back the clock and fix that. That's right, you can't. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a future. You do have a future, no matter what has happened. And eventually, do you know what? We're all going to leave these earth suits called our bodies. So it doesn't matter how many New Year's resolutions we make. It doesn't matter how many gym memberships we buy. It doesn't matter whether we go for plastic surgery or whether we eat herbal only or whatever, which I'm, you know, we've got to look after our bodies and that. But do you know what? Guess what? We're all going to get old. Okay, and we're all going to have to give up this earth suit and we're going to have to go into the afterlife, right? And if we placed our faith in Christ, then we know that we get the new heaven and the new earth where there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying, that we'll be united with our friends and family and our loved ones who put their faith in Christ. And so we have a future. So at Christmas, we unwrap forgiveness. We unwrap friendship with God. We unwrap spiritual family that God gives us, and we unwrap a glorious future for each and every one of us. And my question here is, what part of that do you need to unwrap this year at Christmas? Maybe you say, man, I need to unwrap all four of those. Maybe for some of you, you've never asked for God for forgiveness. Maybe that's the thing that you need to unwrap this year. And all you have to say is a simple prayer to God to say, God, I put my faith in Jesus to forgive my sins. Come into my life and change me. Something like that. Just some simple prayer to say, I'm turning away from all the things that I have been depending on and hoping for in life. And instead, I put my whole weight of my trust in Christ alone for my salvation, for my future. That's forgiveness. For some of you, it's you've seen God way out there as a sort of mean guy ready to strike you down. If he would wanted to strike you down, he would have struck you down a long time ago. He's not trying to strike you down. He wants to be your friend. And maybe this year it's time to open up that package and say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to be my friend. I want to really go to a new level of friendship with you. For some of you, it's saying that, well, I like you, God, but I'm not sure about all your kids that you welcome into this spiritual family. You know, I've tried this before. I tried coming into one of these spiritual families in these churches, and some of those people, they can be, you know, kind of, I don't know. You know what? No Christian who's put his faith in Jesus is going to be Jesus himself. We're all growing. We're all moving forward. But you know what? God calls us into an imperfect community. And there is no such thing as a perfect church. And if you do find a perfect church, don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore. Some of you are just getting that now. But for some of you, it's taking that step of faith and trust. You say, well, I can trust God, I just can't trust people. Well, God wants you to trust one another and open up your heart. Yes, either that or you. Relationships are messy and they hurt sometimes. But I'm telling you, it's a lot better to have relationships than no relationships. It's better to be in than out. It's better to take the walls down than leave the walls up. And so for some of you, that's what God is, by the Holy Spirit, is telling you that you need to unwrap this year. For some of you, it's that future thing. It's like you've kind of given up hope on things. And he's saying, why don't you unwrap my hope and my future? It doesn't always mean that something from the past is going to get fixed, because some things can't be fixed in this life. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a future and a hope for you. Let's pray. Father, for each of us, Lord, we have something different that you want us to unwrap. But we want to unwrap you. We want to unwrap Jesus and everything that you have for us. Thank you now for this time together as we continue to celebrate this Christmas time. And I pray for every person here, God, that, Lord, whatever that gift for them is to be unwrapped. Jesus. We have a Christmas benediction. We usually have some standard ones. This one, for those of you who are regulars at Every Nation GTA, will not recognize this one, but this is a benediction, a Christmas benediction. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in deepest night are lit up with a brilliant sight. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The spread of his influence and of his peace will never end. Therefore, go out into the world with great joy, and the grace of Bethlehem's matchless child, the love of God who never ceases to amaze, and the fellowship of the Spirit who never wearies, be with you this holy night and forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're done with our service part. And
you've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.